This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
It's not changing. We need a change. It's crazy out here.
Right now, a curfew still in effect for 2.5 million people in Minnesota as protesters clash with police over the shooting death of Dante Wright.
And it feels mild now, but we have some colder air to our west that moves on in. I'll show you how it will feel as we get closer to the end of the week.
And the child is in the hospital this morning after they were hit by a car last night in this area. We'll walk you through exactly what happened.
And thanks so much for staying up and waking up with us this morning at 4:30. I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Great to have you with us. A lot to tell you about on this Tuesday morning. But first, a check on the weather. We get one more nice dry day before the rain comes, Elizabeth.
That's right. We do have some scattered showers and thunderstorms in our forecast for tomorrow. We take a look right now at what's happening. It's nice and quiet. We look at Clinton and everything is nice and dry right now. So no worries as you're heading out the door this morning. We take a look at Futurecast and a little bit more cloud cover for today. That's really about all we'll end up seeing. We take a look at lunchtime and it's nice and quiet, nice and dry. And we move on in. Notice there's a little shower that tries to sneak into our northern counties by late today around 5 or 6 o'clock. But as it moves into our area, it's likely to fizzle out. We just have a very dry air mass in place, so not likely to see any rain for today. Our temperatures are pleasantly cool again this morning, 59 degrees in Fayetteville, 59 in Clinton, 48 in South Hill, 52 degrees in Goldsboro. Hour by hour, our temperatures starting off in the low to mid 50s this morning, so a jacket might feel good. Around 70 at lunchtime, and much like yesterday, we'll climb into the mid 70s this afternoon, just a little bit more cloud cover, but not as windy as it was. Coming up, we're going to time out our chance for rain for tomorrow and talk about what our severe weather threat may be.
I'm Brian Neese, live in the WRAL breaking news tracker along I-40 westbound at the Clayton Bypass. I'm going to step behind the camera. The Highway Patrol right now is investigating a crash that happened right at exit 309. You see there's a tow truck there. The car that we're talking about is actually down this embankment. We have some video from the WRAL breaking news tracker. It'll give you a better perspective of what happened. It appears that this SUV went off the roadway right here at the exit, took out a bunch of this guardrail, and went down that embankment. You see, it's very smashed up. I'm told that the driver did go to the hospital. I'm working on an update on their condition. Right now, the troopers are still out here trying to figure out what exactly caused this crash. We'll keep you updated on if this will affect any traffic throughout the morning. Live in Raleigh, Brittany, WRAL News.
Right now, a curfew is in effect across Minneapolis as protests erupt in response to the killing of Dante Wright. Police have identified the white police officer who shot Dante Wright during an arrest as a 26-year veteran. The department claims she mistook her gun for a taser. Now, we want to warn you, the video you're about to see could be difficult to watch. And of course, you hear the officer saying, taser, 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 but unfortunately, she grabbed her gun instead of her taser. A group of protesters were at the police station, but were pushed back by police and National Guard troops. Some businesses nearby, including a Dollar Tree and a Boost Mobile store, were looted. Today, the families of Dante Wright and George Floyd will hold a news conference in Minneapolis, along with civil rights attorney Ben Crump.
Wright was killed about 10 miles from where former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin arrested George Floyd. Today, Chauvin's trial will continue as the prosecution is expected to rest its case. Then we'll get a better idea of who the defense plans to call to the stand. Jury deliberation could start as soon as next week. A 10-year-old is in the hospital this morning after getting hit by a car while chasing after a dog. This happened in Dunn. The WRAL breaking news tracker arrived on scene along Spring Branch Road to find the road blocked by law enforcement and fire trucks. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey is live there this morning. Michelle, the child isn't the only one hurt.
No, Renee, the child is not the only one hurt. The two drivers involved in that accident are also hurt as well. But I want to show you exactly where this happened. This happened in this stretch of road here, but you can see it's very dark, so it would be difficult for anybody to really see somebody in the road. But I'm going to walk you through exactly what happened last night. Dunn police said the child was trying to get a dog in the middle of the road. A driver saw the child and stopped, but another driver coming from the opposite direction did not stop. Then ran off the road onto the curb, hit the child, and crashed into that stopped car. All were taken to the hospital. We don't know their conditions as of this morning. I have reached out to Dunn Police to learn more. But back here live, I want to show you this business right across the street. This is Discount Cigarettes Pop Mart. We've learned that they actually have surveillance video of exactly what happened. So as soon as that business opens this morning, I'm going to go in there. And I'm going to ask to get that surveillance video for you. We're live in Dunn. Michelle McConaughey, WRAL News.
Two large-scale walk-in vaccination clinics are being held in Fayetteville this week. KQF Valley says it's offering the single-dose Johnson & Johnson shot tomorrow and Friday at the Rehab Center on Owen Drive. That clinic will start at about 8 a.m. Now, typically, the hospital's clinics are by appointment only. KQF Valley says it's seeing a slowdown in appointment requests. Hospital officials think the walk-in clinics this week will be a success despite that drop-off. Coming up in about 30 minutes, WRAL's Nyah Harden joins us live from Fayetteville to explain why.
You can get an appointment for a coronavirus vaccine right now. Summit Church in Raleigh has open times for both today and tomorrow. They are giving out the Moderna shot. UNC Health also has a handful of appointments open for this week. The Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are available. You can find more information on how to make an appointment on WRAL.com. We are tracking where vaccines are available every day. To see what we found, go to WRAL.com and look for the yellow banner that says Find a Vaccine. The same information is available on the WRAL News app.
Tomorrow on Today, a special celebration to mark 100 days until the Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo, including an interview between Hoda Kotb and Simone Biles. The special event is tomorrow on Today. Coming up at 4:36 now, coming up, how a new study is backing up what we already feared about a coronavirus variant. Plus,
that's me calling over 150 times.
Help is on the way for people who lost loved ones to the COVID-19. It's proving, though, to take some time, what the Attorney General is now telling people to watch out for.
The most experienced team of meteorologists. This is WRAL Weather.
It's 4:39. It's a nice morning out there, similar to yesterday. It's a little on the cool side, 55 in Durham right now. It's 50 in Goldsboro and 48 degrees in Sanford. But skies are mostly clear. Heading out the door this morning, we'll see plenty of sunshine and temperatures are in the low 50s. But this afternoon, it should cloud up just a little bit. We'll see partly cloudy skies later on today. But heading out, it's mainly clear, 55 in Raleigh, 54 in Wilson, 56 degrees in Goldsboro. So it feels nice. School day forecast, kids are heading out to the bus stop this morning with temperatures in the 50s. But as they're coming home, temperatures will be in the mid 70. So looking at another beautiful day today with lots of sunshine. Things begin to change tomorrow. Our front gets closer to us. We'll see a better chance of showers and thunderstorms, and part of the viewing area is under a risk for severe storms. I'll show you where coming up.
Today, more than 1,500 people from first responders to children will be honored in a memorial commemorating North Carolina's Work Zone Awareness Week. The National Work Zone Memorial will be built at the Welcome Center along I-95 North in Northampton County. It honors those who died in work zones, including 36 North Carolina workers. Back in 2015, Gray Bailey was killed while working along Highway 70 in Wayne County. You can view the memorial today through Thursday.
The pandemic is bringing more jobs to Johnston County. Berry Global announced plans this morning to expand its Benson plant. The facility makes disinfectant wipes. County commissioners joined town leaders to approve an incentives package for the company. It will invest more than $70 million in the expansion and will create more than 60 jobs.
Time now, 4:40. Still to come, police in Minnesota claim an officer mistook her handgun for a taser when she shot and killed Dante Wright. Next, local experts break down how that's possible.
Plus, a Capitol Police officer lies in honor today after being killed in an attack earlier this month, who is stopping to pay their respects. Protests related to the killing of Dante Wright are picking up beyond Minnesota. Demonstrators gathered in New York City to protest the shooting of Wright, who was killed by an officer who claims to have mistaken her gun for her taser. Police say the Minnesota police officer who fatally shot Wright meant to use her taser and not her handgun. WRAL asked local police departments about this deadly mistake. Several departments require the taser in a distinct location on the body, particularly in an area where an officer can cross-draw and also use tasers with a distinctive color. One expert we spoke with called this a training failure.
Training should be sufficient so that they understand the way they carry They're less lethal weapons and they're lethal weapons. So the less lethal weapon should have been carried normally on their non-dominant side.
While it's not a common mistake, police officers have mistaken their guns for tasers before. In 2019, an officer in Pennsylvania shot an unarmed man after shouting taser, according to the New York Times. And in 2018, an officer shot a man who was fighting a fellow officer. In 2015, an Oklahoma Reserve deputy shot an unarmed man.
A bouncer is still being treated at a hospital after being shot outside a Fayetteville bar. Now, police believe they have arrested the man responsible. Will Francis is currently at the Cumberland County Detention Center facing charges of attempted murder. This all happened at Fat Daddy's Bar on Rayford Road. Charles Jackson Jr. was shot twice as he helped another employee break up a fight over a face mask dispute. Francis is being held on $300,000 bond.
Today, the Capitol Police officer killed in an attack on April 2nd will lie in honor in the Capitol Rotunda. Officer Billy Evans was killed when a man rammed his car into a Capitol barricade. President Joe Biden will pay his respects at 11 this morning, while Vice President Kamala Harris will pay her respects separate from the president around 4 p.m. Evans served as a Capitol Police officer for 18 years.
A new study backs up the claim that the coronavirus variant first detected in the UK spreads more easily. One study published in the journal Lancet found no evidence the variant caused severe COVID-19 symptoms, but it did show that it was associated with increased viral load, which makes it more easily transmissible. Now for a look at where variant cases stand here in North Carolina, there are 178 cases of the UK variant. There are 29 cases of the variant first detected in South Africa, and there are no known cases of a variant first reported in Brazil. There's been no change in these numbers since we last reported last week. Starting today, the CDC will no longer be updating its total number of variant cases state by state. Instead, the CDC will report on how prevalent the virus strains are using percentages of total tests instead of overall case counts.
The agony of having to bury a loved one because of COVID-19 is unimaginable. But for hundreds of thousands of Americans like Carlotta Mitchell from Cary, it's a reality. She lost her mother and grandmother to the virus less than 2 weeks apart, leaving her to plan not one, but two funerals. FEMA is hoping to help with its COVID-19 funeral assistance. Mitchell has called the application line more than 150 times, but still could not get through.
It's been frustrating, you know, to know that this one line is always busy. It's like, you know, they should have prepared for this because they've seen the numbers.
WRL reached out to FEMA. They tell us they've received thousands of calls causing technical difficulties, and they're asking for patience as they've never done anything to this scale, reminding people that there is no deadline to apply. FEMA is warning anyone who is searching for help with funeral costs to watch out for scammers. Attorney General Josh Stein says FEMA is not initiating calls and reminds people never to give out personal or financial information over the phone.
Today, a Raleigh organization working to help people experiencing homelessness is celebrating 2 years. Oak City Cares has been providing food and critical services to people without homes since 2019. The organization is marking its birthday with a virtual panel discussion on its success during the pandemic that starts in just a few hours at 9:30 this morning. Well, you're going to be waking up to a rather comfortable morning, perfect for maybe a walk or a run, but we've got some changes on the way. Let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WRL Severe Weather Center.
That's right. It's nice out there this morning. We're going to start with a live look at Clayton this morning and looking pretty. Yesterday, wind was an issue. It is not going to be an issue for us today. It's going to be a nice quiet day for us weather-wise. Just a few more clouds than we saw yesterday. Our next weather maker arrives tomorrow. We were talking about this yesterday too. This cold front will bring us some showers and thunderstorms, possibly some strong wind and hail, and some colder temperatures behind it starting on Thursday. Here's where it is right now. As it's been moving across Texas, the low pressure system itself has produced some severe thunderstorm warnings that continues to travel eastward. And of course, now we're in the wee hours of the morning. And so it's begun to calm down just a little bit from what we were seeing overnight. There were a few more severe thunderstorm warnings last night. So this whole thing travels eastward and arrives here tomorrow. But let's talk about today, too. We're going to see just partly cloudy skies today. We'll jump on ahead to tomorrow and notice first thing in the morning. There are a few light showers that try to sneak in near the Virginia line, but for the most part, it will stay dry through the morning. And as a matter of fact, there at 7 o'clock, we're looking at partly cloudy skies. So it should be a pretty nice start to the day. We'll continue to see some showers to our north around lunchtime and the early part of the afternoon. And then later in the afternoon, everything begins to drop farther south. So there's 3 p.m., still looking nice and dry. At 5 o'clock, we're not looking at a lot of rain. So this is not going to be a huge rainmaker for us, and it looks like it moves in after the evening commute. By the time we get to 7 o'clock, we're seeing some showers and thunderstorms from the Triangle area northward, so up around South Hill, Virginia, say across parts of Roanoke Rapids and back down toward Durham, and then we'll see this just sort of last little bit moving through around 8 p.m. If you're south of the Triangle, your chances of seeing these showers and thunderstorms are certainly less. As we see that cold front come through, it looks like it's mainly going to affect the northern part of the viewing area, and that's where our severe weather threat is for tomorrow. It's a level one risk. Biggest risk would be damaging winds. There could be some small hail with this and certainly some heavy rain, but the biggest threats will certainly be from the Triangle area northward. How much rain are we talking about? Well, not a whole lot. As a matter of fact, this is really the only game in town all week long. We're going to see just this one front coming through, and it'll be anywhere from a 10 to maybe a half an inch of rain closer to the Virginia line. How about those temperatures? We've got some big changes coming in. Today, 76, a really, really beautiful day today. And then tomorrow stays dry really until almost sunset in some places. So we're going to warm on up to about 79 degrees. We'll see those late thunderstorms. And then after that, some cooler air arrives. And we're talking about temperatures in the 60s. You know, we've had temperatures, you know, in the mid to upper 70s to around 80 now for a bit. So we're going to get back to, you know, maybe not shorts and t-shirts weather, at least in my book, with those upper 60s all the way through Sunday. And look at these overnight lows too. Friday morning 42, Saturday morning 44. So that is chilly. It's not cold enough, most likely, for there to be a frost advisory, but we'll be watching Friday morning in particular. We're going to watch our pollen count too with these cooler temperatures. Is it going to start to go down? I'll show you coming up in a few minutes.
Well, we hope those pollen counts continue to go down. And
yes,
you're going
please.
To force me to go up to the attic to get my coat again, Elizabeth.
Anyway,
we're coming up on 451. Still to come, water contaminated in a major nuclear disaster is set to be released back into the ocean. Why one country says it's safe, but others are still concerned.
Plus, TSA is changing one guideline just in time for your summer vacation. How you can now pack sunscreen worry-free.
Welcome back. Duke joins only a handful of other schools making the vaccine mandatory for students who want to come back to campus in the fall. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Cougar tells us why the school made the choice and if any others in our area are joining them.
Duke has long required its students to get certain vaccines. A spokesperson says this is no different.
Obviously, the decision about whether to get a vaccination is a matter of personal choice. It's also a matter of personal choice about whether you choose to attend Duke.
While there are three vaccines in use in the U.S., none has full FDA approval.
Well, I think the legal question for students is a settled one. Certainly it is for Duke.
Across the country, it's a question universities are weighing. By phone, Durham attorney Daniel Meyer told me he thinks Duke has a right to require the shot. North Carolina Central law professor Scott Holmes agrees.
In general, it's constitutional to impose mandatory vaccines, and the Supreme Court has upheld that under the 14th Amendment.
In a meeting last week, UNC Chapel Hill's chancellor suggested his school does not believe it can require it.
In time right now, we would need a statute of change in the law here in North Carolina to mandate that.
Holmes disagrees. He thinks both public and private schools could legally make the shots mandatory.
The case law is pretty clear under the federal law and the Supreme Court precedent that this is an issue of public safety.
In my questions to other universities in our state, the response from Campbell stood out. Its vice president telling me, as the law does not seem to allow us to require emergency vaccines, he suspects not many will require them until the law is modified or the courts say it's okay.
That was Sarah Kruger reporting. Now, Sarah also reached out to the UNC System Office to get a sense of where all of its universities stand on this issue, including NC State and UNC. She did not receive a response.
Soon, a woman could serve at the top of the U.S. Army for the first time. President Biden nominated Christine Warmoth as the next Secretary of the Army. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin issued a statement calling Warmoth, quote, a true patriot. She worked previously as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Warmoth still has to be confirmed by the Senate.
Just in time for your summer vacation, you can soon carry full-size sunscreen bottles on an airplane. The TSA is now considering sunscreen and SPF products as medically necessary liquids. The move is part of an effort to spread awareness of skin cancer. You can bring the larger bottles in carry-on bags the next time you fly.
Japan plans to release treated wastewater from the Fukushima disaster into the sea. The water was contaminated after an accident at a nuclear plant about 10 years ago. The Prime Minister's office says the water has since been treated and is considered safe. Both China and South Korea have voiced their concerns over the move. Next at 5, the trial of the police officer accused of killing George Floyd will continue this morning. The prosecution is expected to rest its case. How soon jury deliberations could begin.
And now that students are back in the classroom, school leaders are looking ahead to the summer in one county when parents in Johnston County will know about a program to help struggling kids keep up.
Plus, the suspect in a shooting at a Knoxville school is dead. What we're learning this morning about the condition of a police officer who was shot.